On this Remembrance Sunday, we've remembered the great sacrifice that people through the ages have made on our behalf. Alongside the gruesomeness and horror of war, we've also come across great heroic and selfless acts made on the battlefield. Some did it for the greater good against a common enemy, some to save their own skin, and some to save a friend. I don't know many of you have seen that film Saving Private Ryan, but that's a classic tale based on a true story of what lengths people will go to in order to save a friend. For those of you who haven't seen that film, Private James Ryan was one of four American brothers involved in the Normandy landings of the Second World War. All three of Private Ryan's brothers had been killed during that vicious assault on Omaha Beach on June the 6th, 1944. And so the US military decided to send at least one of their sons back to their parents in Iowa. So an army captain, played by Tom Hanks in the film, was dispatched with his men to save Private Ryan. A brave and heroic mission which saved Private Ryan, but which ended with many of the unit giving their own lives in order to save him. An example no doubt repeated often during wartime of someone dying to save a good man. Last month we remembered the 485th anniversary of the brutal death of another man, William Tyndale, a righteous man who was martyred for daring to translate the Bible from Latin into a language that people could read and understand for themselves. No one stepped forward to die in his place. As we've often seen through history, instead, a righteous man often becomes the focus of anger from unrighteous or self-righteous people. So if you can open your Bibles, if you haven't already got them open, from Romans chapter 5. In verse 7 of the Bible passage that we heard read earlier, these two facts are pointed out. Rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, but occasionally we see, especially in wartime, that a person will die for his friends or comrades. But when do we see anyone giving up their lives for their enemies? Well, here in these few verses from Romans chapter 5, we see such an event. Verse 6 tells us that just at the right time, when we were still powerless or helpless or dead in our sins, Christ died for the ungodly, the very opposite of everything that God is. Those who had no interest or inclination toward God. And verse 10 tells us that we weren't just indifferent or disinterested in God. We were his enemies, against him, at war with him because of our sin, which Paul is at pains to point out in the first few chapters of this letter, and which culminates in that great verse in chapter 3 of Romans, which says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But here in chapter 5 and verse 8, the tone of the letter changes. After explaining how we're all dead in our sins, the problem, the letter starts to focus on the solution. For the first time in Romans, God's love shines through the darkness. where it says, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I love it in the Bible when those words, "but God," appear. We may have a problem, but God has the answer. We may not know what to do, but God knows what to do. Christ, the anointed one sent from God at just the right time in human history, came to die not for those who thought they were good enough for heaven by their own efforts, but for his enemies. Whilst we were still sinners, it says. Why would someone do that? Die for those who are against him. But God demonstrated his love for us and came to die to show us how much he loved us. That well-known verse from John 3:16 re-emphasizes this. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him, whoever puts their faith and trust in his blood shed for their sins, shall not perish, but have eternal life with him. We marvel that during wartime men will love their comrades enough to put themselves in the line of fire and die for them. But how much more, as it says in these verses, how much more love did God show to us that Jesus died for us while we were his enemies? Enough love to justify us, as it says in verse 9. Let me read it to you again. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more will we be saved from God's wrath through him? Christ's blood shed on the cross of Calvary justifies us, meaning that when he died and shed his blood in our place, all the penalty for the sin that we have and would commit was transferred from us onto Christ, so that he faced the wrath of God for our sin. As Isaiah 53 and verse 5 reminds us, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We are counted not guilty, without sin, no penalty to pay when we stand before God's throne. Although we fully deserve God's wrath, Christ has paid that penalty for us. As verse 10 reminds us, far from being his enemies, we are now reconciled to God by Christ's blood. Our past is forgiven, and we can stand before him at last in heaven justified, just as if I'd never sinned. How can we not rejoice, as verse 11 reminds us? We rejoice that Christ's blood has saved us, that he has reconciled us to God and justified us in his sight. And we rejoice that because he lives, we too will live with him forever. So we're going to rejoice and celebrate in a moment. On this Remembrance Sunday, it's right that we remember those who gave their lives for our freedom. But how much more, as it says in verses 9 and 10, should we remember the one who died to give us eternal life for our sin. We're going to do that in a moment, following the commandments which the Lord Jesus taught his disciples, to break bread together to remember him and to rejoice that he would love us enough to give himself for us.